Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Sai's glory. His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Offering myself at Bhagwan's lotus feet, this is Karuna signing in live from Prashanti Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. Sai Ram, good morning and welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live, coming to you from the Radio Sai Studios in Prashanti Nilayam, where the time right now is exactly 45 minutes past 9 a.m., that is Indian Standard Time. Dear listeners, I have an amazing episode of Morning Glory lined up for your inspiration and information, and it's very diverse and mixed, which you absolutely wouldn't want to miss out. Thank you so much for your company on this auspicious Thursday morning, October the 6th, 2016. The current weather conditions in the Divine Valley, bright sunshine with current temperature at 24 degrees Celsius. Overnight lows of 22 and daytime highs of 32 degrees Celsius. The spiritual temperature in the ashram, however, is certainly way higher, and very shortly I will tell you why. And serving our ashram and all its allied institutions across Prashanti Nilayam here are currently the dedicated Sevadal volunteers from Bihar. Radio Sai salutes the selfless heroes from the Indian state of Bihar who are taking care of and serving our ashram, our canteens, our hospitals, our schools, colleges, offices, airport, museums, stores and much more in every possible role with so much of love and devotion for Bhagwan Baba. Meanwhile, the morning aarti and the morning yagna has just concluded in the Sai Kulwant Hall and the Purnachandra Hall, and every grain of sand in Prashanti Nilayam, every wisp of air, every leaf on a tree is pulsating with the divine energy due to this spiritual extravaganza that has just begun here. You heard it right, Navratri festival started on 1st of October, and of course few days later the Vedic tradition that Baba has revived, the Veda Purushi Yagna, started. And the other highlight of our Navratri festival is the Grama Seva, the hands-on village outreach and service work that the students of the Sai University, all campuses, four campuses and all Satisai schools take part in. Every day here in Prashanti is so special. Every day we have something to look forward to. For example, just 2 days ago on October 4, 2016, the Sri Satisai General Hospital turned 61. That is right, 61 years ago on 4th of October in 1956, many of us were not even born then, Baba laid the foundation stone of an institution that has served millions of patients through the six decades of its existence. The only currency for all consultations, all surgeries, procedures, diagnostics, everything, the only currency this hospital has traded in is the currency of pure selfless love. No rupees, no dollars, no euros were ever exchanged. In fact, none of the Sai hospitals have any billing department. Such, dear listeners, is the generosity of the Apostle of Love, also known as Bhagwan Sri Satisai Baba. Meanwhile, as I was driving to the ashram this morning, I had to wait to let the 41 big Gram Seva trucks go past me. I'm sure I missed some, but I know the exact number because they're very well labeled. They say V1 for vehicle 1, V2. So I had to stand. It was like a convoy of this army of Swami's virtuous, loving students and his wonderful teachers going out into the villages. And these trucks were laden with food and clothes and prasadam and his dear students, and they were all joyfully bolo Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba Ji ki jai, and then they were driving out of the ashram. So most of the rest of the traffic coming into the ashram had to give way to them because they had the right to pass. And I kept looking at the numbers. 41 big trucks full of supplies went past me till I got in. There is so much of excitement here with the Gram Seva going on. And you know how many students of Baba participate in it? 2,000. So 2,000 students and their amazing role models, their teachers, their coordinators, everybody's hands-on. From the university, top of the university, to the person who's working in the kitchen in the hostel, all are involved in the Gram Seva, and every student is going out and participating and learning what it means when Swami says, bend the body, amend the senses and end the mind by reaching out to another person and feeling that the person you're giving this gift of love in the form of delicious, freshly cooked food, prasadam, clothes, is only an extension of ourselves. That joy, that feeling, unless we give them experiential exposure to this whole phenomena of service to man is service to God, it will only remain in textbooks. But with Baba, everything is practical learning. Now, I'm also very eager to share with you some other details after this morning's feature presentation, which is a Tris with Divinity interview with a young man who is a role model, who can be a role model to many more. His name is Dr. Sumit Thakkar, and he works at our Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences in Whitefield. This is an amazing interview with a man of few words and much work, and I know you're going to love it. After that, I have two wonderful pieces of news to share with you. One, I will tell you where I just returned from last night. I just got back to Parthi after 3 days of absence, 4 days of absence. And I went to Jammu and Kashmir, very close to the Indo-Pak border, to witness an amazing event. I'm so glad I'm alive and I'm living in this time and age where I could see this Sai development, which in my opinion is a huge deal. This is the story of the strategic spiritual strike that the Sri Satya Sai Seva organization conducted on October 3. So please mark my word, I say strategic spiritual strike on October 3rd, that is 3 days ago, in Jammu, close to the line of actual control near the Indo-Pak border. I will give you all the details after the interview. Secondly, if time allows me, I would love to read for you excerpts of chapter 18 from an amazing book. It's called A Life in Diplomacy and is authored by a very well-known Indian, Sri Maharaj Krishan Rasgotra. Mr. Maharaj Krishan Rasgotra is a veteran diplomat of the Indian Foreign Service, and he's written this book called A Life in Diplomacy. And chapter 18 from this book is entirely devoted. It devotes 11 and a half pages to his relationship with Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. And I remember as a child, I read either the Time magazine or the Newsweek magazine where people were talking about phenomena and supernatural. And he had, without any hesitation, spoken about Bhagwan's divinity based on his experience when he was lying in a hospital, most likely in the US. So after that, when I read this chapter, I thought I must share it with all of you, which I shall do after this interview. So please do stay with me for the entire show and you will be happier for it, I promise. But first, let's enjoy today's feature presentation, a new episode of Tris with Divinity with Dr. Sumit Thakkar of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba Super Speciality Hospital in Whitefield, Bangalore. Have a listen, please. Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome to Tris with Divinity on Radio Sai. Today, sharing his experiences of Bhagwan Baba's love and its impact upon his life is a consultant neurosurgeon from the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, Whitefield, Bangalore, Dr. Sumit Thakkar, MCH. Dr. Tucker has the unique distinction of being possibly the humblest ever overachiever. No surprise then that he comes from a family of Sai devotees from the time of his grandparents, and he is an alumnus of the Sai school here in Prashanti Nilayam. Just to give you a peek into his distinguished academic profile, from his kindergarten till grade 10, Dr. Sumit Tucker aced in every grade. Upon completing his grade 12 high school exam from Baba's high school here in Prashanti Nilayam, Dr. Tucker received a gold medal from the divine hands of Bhagwan Baba in 1995. In the year 2015, he received the award for excellence at the All India Bal Vikas Alumni Meet in Prashanti Nilayam. For his professional medical training, he attended the Christian Medical College Vellore from 1996 to 2001. Again, for his graduate school, he continued at the same prestigious CMC Vellore, earning himself a Master's in Neurosurgery in February of 2008. Dr. Sumit Tucker has over 60 publications to his credit in indexed neurosurgery journals, and he is a reviewer for more than 10 international journals. On June 4th of this year, that is in 2016, Dr. Sumit Tucker of the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, Whitefield, Bangalore, was awarded the Next Gen Young Neurosurgeon Award for the best research paper during the 6th International Neurosurgery Update, an annual academic meet of the Asian Australasian Society of Neurological Surgeons in Mumbai. With great warmth, I welcome him to Radio Sai. Sairam, Dr. Sumit Tucker, and a very loving welcome to Trist on Radio Sai.
Sairam, thank you so much for giving me a chance to be here.
Oh, we are really honored. Who wouldn't want to have the winner of the Next Gen Young Neurosurgeons Award winner of 2016 here? Let me begin by congratulating you.
Thank you so much. It's all Swami's wish, Swami's grace on me.
I'm sure, and a lot of hard work on your part. What can you tell us? I mean, it is amazing. India has so many young neurosurgeons, and one of Baba's very own students, who is a neurosurgeon, was picked for the 2016 award for the Next Gen Young Neurosurgeons at an international conference in Mumbai. So what can you share with us about this award and the conference?
I think that my biggest honor has been of that having been given a chance to participate in a small way in Swami's healthcare mission, to be an instrument in his hands. If you are talking of my professional achievements, I recently got a Next Gen Young Neurosurgeons Award at an international conference for a research paper in neurosurgery that I had submitted. The research was carried out in a department over the last 6 months or so. Mm-hmm. And it is of relevance to the improvement of patient care in one particular neurosurgical disorder.
Which is what?
It's actually a condition called Chiari malformation.
Mm-hmm. And I'm pretending to understand. What does it mean?
Chiari malformation is actually a disorder of the spinal cord.
I see.
And in which patients can present with quite a lot of symptoms. And so this paper was actually, we did some research on how the paraspinal muscles can be affected in this particular disorder.
I see.
Given the huge number of patients that we treat and the excellent data collection system in the hospital that we have access to, it actually becomes very easy for us to do such landmark studies every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a matter of great pride for Swami's Department of Neurosurgery at the Super Speciality Hospital in Whitefield that it has been actually recognized in an article in a National Neurosurgery Journal in 2015 as being foremost amongst the DNB training institutes in India in terms of the number of publications.
Wow, very impressive.
Yeah.
It is.
And we have actually been receiving awards on a regular basis for best papers and presentations at different conferences. And more than being personally satisfying, this award and the others in the past have actually helped in showcasing Swami's institution.
And very also, true, yes.
And it also helps in motivating our DNB trainees in neurosurgery to publish research papers. And doing this is actually quite important in a field like neurosurgery, as in other medical specialties, as it helps to stay up to date with all the recent developments.
Mm-hmm.
Swami has also inspired me to publish more than 60 publications in prestigious national and international journals since I joined his hospital 8 years ago. And I've also been nominated as an ad hoc reviewer for quite a few international journals.
I see.
The most fulfilling of all my papers so far has been the paper on Swami's free healthcare model that actually got published in a top-notch international neurosurgery journal last year. This article was entitled "A Values-Based No Cost to Patient Health Model in the Developing World: Critical Appraisal of a Unique Patient-Centric Neurosurgery Unit." This paper actually delves into the inception and the sustainability of Swami's healthcare model. It explains in detail how Swami's unique hospitals thrive on compassion, a cost-conscious culture, and the practice of fundamental human values. The sole objective of this paper was to spread awareness of Swami's unique healthcare models in the medical world. It was really well received by all the reviewers, and in fact, one of whom said that it was too good to be true.
Wow. It sounds to the outside world, definitely. Mm. My God. This is so heartening to hear that such wonderful work is going on, even at such a high professional level. Now, my question to you is, how do you bring this Sai factor? Because you are a student of Swami, and your family is deeply devoted to Swami, your parents, your wife, her family, on all sides. How do you bring in the Sai factor into your own practice of medicine?
Swami always emphasized on the practice of speaking to patients with love and affection. And this means learning to empathize with the patients, taking time to listen to them, and to move beyond our routine checklists. As far as possible, we all try to put this into practice. And this definitely helps in toning down the anxiety levels of our patients. This is important as it has been proven that a decrease in psychological stress in the patient speeds up their healing. Coming to healing, one of the signs in operation theater says, "Sai is the surgeon." This indeed is true. We might be the surgeons who cut, but it is Swami who heals. I keep this in mind every time I scrub up for an operation. It is His constant unseen presence doing these surgeries that has actually resulted in our outcomes being amongst the best in the world, be it related to good post-operative results or our small, very minimal infection rates. This has actually been acknowledged by quite a few visiting surgeons from abroad as well. I would like to share with you some first-hand instances where really good outcomes in some complex brain surgeries,
please,
could not be explained by science. And there was a definite stamp of Swami's healing powers. The first is a case of a patient with a high-grade cancer in his brain whom we had operated upon. We had told his relatives that he would probably not survive more than a year after the surgery, as is usually the case with such high-grade cancers. He, however, came up on a routine follow-up 4 years after the surgery, and he didn't have any evidence of recurrence of the tumor. This was not a case of us doing a very great job with the surgery or his tumor or of his good fortune. It was clearly Swami's typical way of cancelling his cancer with his unseen hands. A small child had a bad fungus infection in his brain, and he was advised to take injections for the same after an initial surgery. Left untreated, this sort of infection is generally life-threatening. The child came back to us 2 years later without having taken any such injections or treatment. His infection had actually surprisingly disappeared. And there was no explanation for this other than Swami's grace on him. During surgery for a brain tumor that I was assisting in, there was injury to a blood vessel supplying an important part of the brain. We expected the patient to wake up with a stroke after the surgery. And we also remembered to pray to Swami at that instant. And much to our consternation, the patient was absolutely fine after surgery.
Oh, wow. What a relief.
Yeah. So after quite a few such incidents, I have realized that we just need to do our best and leave the outcomes to Him. I would like to also mention here that there are quite a few people who think that free is cheap or of poor quality. This is not the case at all with Swami's hospitals, which are actually of world-class quality. In fact, one of our patients who got operated in our department recently was so touched after his experience at the hospital that he wrote it up as an implementation essay for his EMBA course in a world-renowned management school.
Wow.
And he not only received 100% score for it, but was also told that the essay would be made into a business school case and be published after that. And this actually means that Swami's free healthcare model may soon be taught as a mainstream, powerful social impact model.
Yes.
At the world's leading business schools.
May I ask which business school it
is? This is INSEAD.
Oh, INSEAD. Yeah. Okay.
And this possibly might inspire quite a few people to join Swami's mission of love all, serve all.
We don't even know how miraculously Swami is working behind the scenes. This is wonderful to hear, really. My God. Now, Dr. Sumit, how did you decide you wanted to study neurosurgery? Why did you take up neurosurgery? It's such a complex thing. Even if I think of someone opening somebody, drilling and opening someone's skull, most of us get the shudders. So you must be brave at heart and very committed.
Actually, I just followed what Swami used to say, be clear and the rest will follow.
Okay.
This has been one of the guiding principles in my life. So I was actually inspired to become a neurosurgeon after reading an article in a leading magazine in my 8th standard. And after that, once I decided that this is what I want to do in life, the rest really followed.
Oh, that's a very good lesson for all of us. Be clear and rest will follow.
And by Swami's grace, I got selected into the prestigious Christian Medical College.
In Vellore.
After a very competitive all-day exam and a 3-day long selection procedure. My Sai background and the self-confidence that Balikas had helped to nurture in me went a long way in helping me in my selection into CMC. And I'd also somehow always wanted to work in a hospital that was free for patients. Many of my well-wishers at that time and the experts in the selection panel at Vellore had actually warned me that there would not be any such hospital anywhere where a glamour specialty like neurosurgery could be combined with free treatment for the poor.
What did they know, huh?
Exactly. This was in 1996.
I see.
And I did not lose heart at that time, and this is what Swami did for me. In the year 2000, he announced the opening of the second super specialty hospital at Whitefield, just when I was finishing my MBBS.
Perfect timing.
And to me, the opening of this super specialty hospital at Whitefield with a neurosurgery department a year later was a dream come true for me.
Oh, I can imagine. I guess Swami was pulling all the strings all along. It sounds like that. Now, let's just backtrack a bit and go to your entry into the Sai world. How did Bhagwan enter your life?
Swamiji's teachings were a part of my life ever since I started schooling.
Okay.
My father's parents were close devotees of Swami since his younger days. He had actually blessed them with his visiting cards way back in the 1960s.
Where were they located, your grandparents?
They were in Delhi.
In Delhi, yeah. Okay.
Their devotion and faith in Swami rubbed off onto my parents and after that onto me and my sisters. There were instances of Swami curing illnesses in our family, and these just strengthened our faith in Him. I shall narrate to you a few examples of these enduring cures.
Please do.
My father was suffering from a painful ruptured disc in his back while he was in the US way back in the 1970s, and he was advised surgery for the same. His mother sent Vibhuti for him from India, a Vibhuti that had flowed from the photo in our altar after a prayer to Swami. My father's back pain just vanished the moment the postman brought the Vibhuti to his apartment.
Without applying
the Vibhuti. And he has not had a back problem ever since.
Wow.
My mother had a long-standing cyst in one of her ovaries and was posted for surgery as the gynecologist was concerned that this could be cancerous. And on the day of the scheduled surgery, a repeat ultrasound showed absolutely no evidence of the cyst. Swami confirmed to her in a dream soon after that he had cured cancer. Such incidents and quite a few others just prove that Swami was the guiding force in our lives, has been the guiding force in our lives.
Clearly, yes.
And is always there to take care of our troubles. Thanks to my mother, I got a very good exposure to his teachings through Balvikas, which has left an indelible mark on my mind.
She's a guru? Or she a guru?
She was the Balvikas coordinator for the state of Bihar.
I see.
I was actively involved in learning music, attending bhajans and participating in social activities. And his teachings of work is worship and love all serve all got ingrained into my lifestyle right from my childhood days. Swami had a plan for me in place, and I now, after joining his hospital, I'm able to put all his teachings into practice.
Wow. Dr. Thakkar, you sound so humble and noble, and you have such strong faith. Wow, I have to ask you, you're a young man, and you have a young family. You have, your wonderful wife, who is my little sister from the Anantapur College, Sonia Agarwal, and two young children, and you have job must be quite demanding. So you have the demands of your profession, which is like really high up there on the stress meter, and a young family. How do you cope with all the stresses that this package brings with it? You seem so relaxed.
As I mentioned earlier, each time I scrub up for an operation, I just pray to Swami and say, this is your, it's all, you're going to be operating through me. I'm just an instrument in your hand. So I just leave all the stresses to Him. I just transfer my stresses onto Him. And then it's quite easy after that.
And you don't, where is the ego of a big surgeon? You don't sound egoistic at all. We know of many big surgeons, they think, I'm the expert and so on. Baba's doctors don't go along those lines, I'm guessing.
I mean, it's just the overall atmosphere in the hospital that everybody knows an unseen presence in the hospital at all times. So everybody just does their own bit and just leaves the outcome to Swami, and they don't think of themselves as being very highly qualified, requiring a lot of expertise.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. That sounds like an ideal world. Now, you know, you studied in Swami school, and I'm sure given your family background, you're the third generation Sai devotee in your family. Right. You must have had many fond interactions with Baba. Can you share a few with our listeners, please?
Sure. I have had the good fortune of having some direct and some indirect interaction with Swami during my student days in the 11th and 12th standard in Patti. While I was in my 12th standard, I was preparing for my medical entrance examinations. Mm. And one evening during my study hour in the hostel, I came across a numerical problem in physics that I was just not able to comprehend.
Mm-hmm.
And after racking my brain on it for quite some time, I finally decided to ask my teacher for ideas on this the following day. Meanwhile, I also very casually prayed to Swami for help. And that same night, Swami came in my dream, and like a teacher sat down next to me and wrote down the solution to that complicated numerical problem in physics. I got up next day and repeated the same thing on paper as if I was in a trance, exactly what the guru of all gurus had taught me the previous night. This incident holds special significance as I speak to you a day prior to Guru Purnima.
Yes, it does. Tomorrow is Guru Purnima.
Yes. And Swami repeated something very similar to this for me during one of my entrance examinations, in which some of the questions were just beyond my comprehension. I prayed to him and left him to choose the answers for me. And sure enough, I performed really well in that particular examination. These are examples of the love which Swami has for all his students. He often used to say that he is what we believe he is. When we believe he is our mother, he becomes a mother. If we take him to be a friend, he becomes a friend. And when we believe he is a teacher, he becomes a teacher. Swami showered his abundant love on us through his visits to our hostel when I was in Patti here. He also granted us a class interview in which he gave all of us tips on how to make correct decisions in life.
What did he say? Tell us, please.
He spoke in general about how we should be making correct decisions and how we should inculcate whatever we learned in the school here when we go out into the world or go into college life. It was a very general discussion, but it carried a lot of meaning to all of us. All of us had a lot of impact.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember any specific tips he gave?
No, I don't have any specific tips, but I remember that he very generally spoke about how to make the correct decisions. And this interview was also very meaningful because, as I told you, it was relevant to all of us at that point in time because all of us were about to leave school and get into college life and the world. And also, during the annual prize distribution, I was fortunate to receive a gold medal from him. And this inspired me immensely to pursue my dream of being able to serve him one day, to be able to constantly receive his grace and his benediction.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Sounds fantastic. Now, I know it almost sounds redundant to ask you after hearing you, but I just have to. As a successful neurosurgeon and a husband and a father of two children and a son and a brother and whatnot, you play so many roles in your life. How do you keep Swami center stage in everything you do?
Okay. Well, it's actually Swami who has graciously kept himself at the center stage of my life, right from my childhood. My mother was actively involved in the Sai organization as the Balukas coordinator, as I mentioned, the state of Bihar. And her devotion to Swami and active participation in social activities rubbed off onto me. I had wanted to join Swami school ever since I was small. My sisters had joined the primary school and then went on to Swami's college in Anandpur. And so it was a really joyous moment for me when I got the opportunity to become Swami student in my 11th standard. One of the most significant chances that Swami blessed me with was being part of the music group when I was in school and being allowed to perform in front of him during the evening bhajans and functions. I have been music-minded since childhood, and I play the keyboard and the harmonium. I never realized that one day I would get a chance to perform in front of Swami. And now, whenever I play, I imagine that I'm playing in front of Swami, and this is an easy way for me to focus on him. Swami has made all the important choices in my life. He even chose my life partner and made all the arrangements for a marriage in his Kalyan Mandapam in Patti. This was an expression of his love for me, something that I will always value. Ever since I joined his hospital, Swami has made it easy for me to keep him in my thoughts all the time. Serving in his hospital is the easiest way to follow his dictum, Manav Seva is Madhav Seva. And this has in fact fulfilled my lifetime dream of combining my profession with social service.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously the bent of mind that you have and your aspirations match very well with Swami's healthcare mission. But does it ever cross your mind that a person of your qualification and your ability, if you worked in a corporate hospital, my God, the monetary windfall would be very, very different?
Right. But like I told you earlier, we should always be clear and the rest will follow. So this was always ingrained into my mind. I wanted to be a neurosurgeon, wanted to work where it is free for patients, and this was my lifetime dream, and
so
I've achieved
it. So you never
it.
Get distracted?
I don't get distracted.
Mm-hmm.
This is my dream, and I've achieved it. So
How I'm does it happy. Feel to have that dream fulfilled?
It gives a lot of sense of fulfillment and joy that I fulfilled my dream.
Yeah. I can understand that clearly. Okay, after a long day when you performed a whole lot of surgeries and dealt with people with pains and aches and problems and complaints, how do you de-stress, doctor?
At the end of the day, just before I go home, I take a short nap for half an hour.
In the hospital?
In the hospital cell.
Okay.
Because I need some energy when I reach home to deal with my two sons at home.
Yes.
So I just take a short nap and then I'm quite de-stressed after that for the evening.
That's a good tip.
And then the moment we come home, we usually sing some bhajans and have an aarti before we start dinner.
Oh, so, I see.
That's another way of de-stress.
Oh, definitely. That is wonderful. Now, in this age and day when, you know, you sound so focused on Swami and everything that you do is for Swami or for your love for Swami and an expression of His grace, that's how I hear you. But there are people who after Mahasamadhi seem so lost and confused. So for you, has anything changed in light of the Mahasamadhi?
It hasn't changed at all. In fact, it didn't make even a small difference to me. The Swami is taking Mahasamadhi because I just believe in following His teachings and being able to do what He's told me all this while, and for me to be able to achieve my dream, and I've achieved that, and I just want to continue doing that. So whether He was here physically or He's attained Mahasamadhi, that doesn't make a difference to me.
Mm-hmm. So what would you tell these confused souls who are running helter-skelter from knocking various doors, going to fantasy lands, looking for some satisfaction of connecting with Swami? What would be your suggestion?
I think the bottom line is, even after they do all that, they need to find out what is their objective in life. They need to find out what Swami really wanted them to do. It's more important to follow Swami's teachings than to just go after the physical form or to try to get any interactions from Him. So it's all important to follow His teachings because that's what Swami wanted. That's what gives maximum joy to Swami. So you just try to follow His teaching and that's it.
Well, your candor and your sincerity has given us maximum joy. I want to thank you so very much, Dr. Sumit Thakkar, for joining us today on Radio Sai.
Thank you again for giving me a chance to be here today.
Oh, what an honor and a pleasure. It's always wonderful for us to take stories of people who work so silently and so sincerely and assiduously for Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba and His mission, and they're always behind the scenes. So it's always good to bring their voices to our listeners. Thank you, and Sai Ram.
Thank you so much. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome back to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. You are tuned live to the vibe of Prashanti Nilayam on this beautiful and auspicious Thursday morning, October the 6th, 2016. The time in the ashram is 10:15 a.m. Indian Standard Time. Now, yesterday at 10:15, I was sitting at Jammu Airport amidst very tight security, might I add, a lot of gun-trotting members of the personnel of the Indian Army all around. And I went through, I don't know how many security checks to just get to the departure lounge. And I reached Prashanti yesterday night and last night. And that is because on October 3rd, Swami blessed me with an opportunity to be a witness to the Bhumi Puja of the Sri Sathya Sai Center in Jammu. Now, the Bhumi Puja of this center took place and it was conducted by our All India President of the Sri Sathya Sai Seva Organization, Sri Nimish Pandya, and by the National Vice President, Sri N. Ramani. So, Ramani sir came from Chennai and Brother Nimish Pandya flew in from Mumbai. And there were, of course, others participating were the Jammu Kashmir State President, Sri Shiv Kumar Sharma, and the State Trust Convener, Dr. Turki, and many other eminent citizens of Jammu Kashmir and Sai devotees from the entire region were present at this location, which is called Halka Mard. And it is a little bit outside of Jammu city and very close to the line of actual control of the POK, the Pakistan Occupied Kashmir. We are perhaps, because see, the line of actual control doesn't run like a straight line. So we could be anywhere under 10 kilometers distance, 6 to 8 kilometers from the border. And that made this groundbreaking ceremony extremely historic. We had the usual, we had a wonderful yagna. Everybody, all the Sai devotees said they could feel Swami's presence sitting in the chair there. And dear listeners, I vouch for it. I felt Swami was physically seated there. You know, you get those goose flesh and a little tremor of joy and you can't, your mind is still because Swami is sitting there. It was exactly that feeling. And the program was so beautiful. You will not believe, because of the tension that is on the border right now between India and Pakistan, all the schools in the border areas are closed. Yet those students, because they received Satya Sai Balvikas education, they came with their teachers to perform for the Bhumi Puja, for the groundbreaking ceremony. And they performed beautiful, loving, sweet dances. And they gave us some demos in martial arts. And they sang beautiful bhajans because they wanted to participate, because Swami's teachings have brought so much joy into that area, which is so troubled. And people have such insecurity. They go to bed, but they don't know whether they will wake up, because, you know, anytime they could be firing. And their schools are all shattered because of the cross-firing. All the windows have shattered glass, so they cannot function in extreme heat or extreme cold. And Jammu has both. It has extreme winters and extreme summers. And from the look of it, as a witness, I went from Prashanti to witness the beautiful event. I could say that this Sai Center is destined to play a historic role because of its location and because Swami waited this long to set it up. You see, in the end, for the golden age to dawn, we need more of Swami's teachings and Swami's values than, you know, guns and terrorists crossing into our borders and tanks and nuclear weapons. The best way to diffuse the tension is with what Swami has taught us: selfless, unconditional love, to see God in everyone, even those who we perceive as enemies sometimes. And to see everybody, and the people who live in that area, all they want is a peaceful life. They want education for their children. They want employment for, you know, their youth. And they want a nice standard of clean and neat standard of living. Now, the Sai Center is being planned in a very grand way. The Jammu Kashmir Sai Center at Halka Mud in Jammu, outside of Jammu, very close to the POK, is they're planning to have a beautiful Sai Center with all possible activities such as education in human values, seva activities, spiritual activities, Balvikas classes, medical camps, bhajan, and extremely importantly, dear listeners, the intent is to build it in such a way that every time there is tension on the border, the population is moved away from the border a few kilometers. So we, Swami, with his open arms, will welcome these people into his center, and it will serve as a shelter for the local population. And the local population comprises of Hindus and Muslims and Sikhs in that area mostly. And all of them can seek refuge in Swami's Sai Center, because for Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, everybody is his child. Now, they have grand plans underway to have a huge Sarva Dharma Stupa standing tall so that it will be visible to the traffic and anybody passing that area, because a national highway is likely to come very close to this plot of land, this parcel of land where the Sai Center is coming up. And it is proposed with Swami's grace and blessings that the building will have the same architecture that is Swami's signature style in terms of the color palette, the domes, the carvings, and all the angels and the scones that come up on Swami's architecture. And the plans are very fantastic. And when you see everything coming together and what is being proposed and at what time in history, you realize how meticulously Swami has planned every step of his mission. We could feel the unfolding of his sankalpa there. It was that moment where we're just sitting on a beautiful ground with some canopies above us and marquee, and performing a yajna and praying and singing Satya Sai Aarti right there in the middle of what looked like an agricultural field, which is our parcel of land for building the Satya Sri Satya Sai Prashanti Mandir there in Jammu. And then you realize that what significant role this center is going to play in reviving the spiritual energy, the love energy, diffusing the tension, serving as a shelter, serving as the seat of all goodness, of the seat of truth, love, peace, non-violence, right conduct. That is what everybody and every country needs eventually. So, yeah, I think this is one of the final strategic spiritual strikes that Swami had saved for this moment in history, so that Jammu Kashmir will actually blossom as a center, as a seat of learning of Sai education and a seat for disseminating Swami's gospel of oneness, of unity, of love, of acceptance. So you can see this is not just a Sai center. This is a very strategic Sai center that Swami planned, and he kept the best for the end. And it was so heartwarming and interesting to be a witness to what is happening there in Jammu Kashmir. I think its time has come after all these years of trouble, discord and militancy. A wave of Sai love is poised to sweep over that land. And we could see that the universe was conniving to coordinate and help and take this forward. Everybody was coming forward. Most unexpected sources of help and support were coming to us. So we thank Swami, and we let us all pray that the Sri Sathya Sai Center of Jammu Kashmir, located at Halka Mud, the proposed center is a grand success. And if you wish to know anything more about this project or its plans, you can always get in touch with the State President of Jammu Kashmir, Sri Shiv Kumar Sharma, or the convener of the State Trust, Dr. Turki. And with that, I just want to remind you, we are in the middle of Gram Seva. Swami's entire mission is about selflessness. The hands that serve are holier than the lips that pray. In this connection, Radio Sai cannot be far behind. So we made a video special for you. It's called Serving Love with Love, and we are going to post it on our website in a little while. It may be in a few hours from now. But today on Morning Glory, I'm so glad to debut it for you. And this is, it's a very delicate presentation, audio special. It's the voice is, of course, of Brother S. Ravi Kumar, who's a Sai student and alumnus of the Sai School and University, who currently works as a senior manager in Swami Super Speciality Hospital in Prashantigram. And the violin is played by Pandit Milind Raikar of Mumbai. You're going to love it. In this, Swami tells us, he urges the students and youth to visit villages and render seva, because Baba says Gram Seva is Ram Seva. And that is what the Sai devotees of Jammu and Kashmir want to also live up to. They want to prove to everybody that Gram Seva is Ram Seva. And the villages close to the border that have undergone so much of suffering, they need the balm of Swami's love. And we should all pray for the success, the grandest possible success of this project in Jammu Kashmir, dear sisters and brothers. I hope you agree with me. Now, in this discourse, Swami also tells the students, visit each and every village, take care of every poor person, serve food to those who suffer with hunger. I wish our students confer on those who suffer from pain, loss and grief in the world today with the benefits of service. The best way to love God, Swami says, is to love all and serve all. Now please enjoy. And of course the Alap says, Har Prani Me Sai, Har Prani Me Baba, Sab Prem Karo, Mera Sai Prasann Hoga. Sai is in every being. Baba is in every being. Love all. My Lord Sai will be pleased. Then Swami, in this audio special, you will find Swami saying, only seva pleases Swami. What Sai does is seva. What Sai preaches is also seva. With such noble feelings and large-heartedness, enter society and render seva. That alone gives contentment to Sai. Have a listen, please. I know you're going to like it.
Prema Swarupulara, ee vidyarthulu యువకులు విలేజ్ సేవలకై పోతున్నారు. గ్రామ సేవయన్న రామసేవయ సుమా. పల్లె పల్లెను పోండి, బీద బీద వాళ్ళని కూడా సాధించండి. ఆకలితో బాధపడేటువంటి వారికి ఇంత పట్టిన అన్నం పెట్టండి. ఈనాడు లోకం లోపల కష్టాలు నష్టాలు దుఃఖాలు పడేటువంటి వారి బాధలంతా నివారణ గావించి ఆ సేవా యొక్క అనుగ్రహాన్ని వారు అందిస్తారని నేను ఆశిస్తున్నాను. ది బెస్ట్ వే టు లవ్ గాడ్ ఈజ్ టు లవ్ ఆల్ హర్మ.
हर प्राणी में साई, हर प्राणी में बाबा, सब प्रेम करो, सब प्रेम
साई प्रसन्न होगा मेरा साई प्रसन्न होगा मेरा साई प्रसन्न होगा
प्रेम स्वरूपులార సాయి సంతోష పెట్టేటువంటిది సేవలే సాయి చేసేటువంటిది కూడాను సేవలే సాయి చెప్పేటువంటిది కూడాను సేవలే ఈ విధమైనటువంటి యొక్క ఉత్తమ భావములతో విశాలమైన హృదయములతో సమాజంలో ప్రవేశించి సేవలు సలపండి అదే సాయికి సంతృప్తికరం ఇచ్చేటువంటిది
दिन दुखियों से प्रेम करो मेरा साई प्रसन्न होगा दिन दुखियों से प्रेम करो मेरा साई प्रसन्न होगा साई मेरा मैं तेरा ये प्रेम की बहती धारा साई मेरा प्रसन्न होगा मेरा साई प्रसन्न होगा
सो डियर ब्रदर्स एंड सिस्टर्स वी ऑल नो एग्जैक्टली व्हाट विल मेक स्वामी He's make Swami happy. Mera Sai Prasanna Hoga. Only if we serve with love and sincerity, thinking everybody is an extension of the same divinity that we worship. That beautiful rendition will be available on our website. It's called To Love with Love. And it's the voiced over by Sri Ravi Kumar, Brother Ravi Kumar. And the violin in the background has been played by Pandit Milind Raikar of Mumbai. Now it is my pleasure, as I promised you, to read you a few select excerpts from this lovely book called Life in Diplomacy. It's been written by Sri Maharaj Krishan Rasgotra, who is now 91 years old and he resides in New Delhi. And chapter 18, it looks like an autobiography, and chapter 18 of this book is titled Renewal of Faith. And dear sisters and brothers, just bear with me. Today I came to work leaving my reading glasses at home. So I'm trying my best to read from this by making the font bigger. I will read you some extracts. He speaks of his return to Delhi in 1971 from Washington, D.C. after his assignment. And he had a new task waiting in London in 1972, this is, in the month of May. Meanwhile, he was in New Delhi at that time and he had plans to go to Kashmir to golf with his friends in between because he had some free time. Meanwhile, he heard from his friend, Sri Rai Bahadur Sohanlal, a name we are all very familiar with because Swami used to stay at Sri Sohanlal's house in Golf Links. And Sri Sohan Lal informed Sri Maharaj Kishan Das Gotra that he might come for the benefit of a divine personage's darshan as an avatar named Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba was staying with him. And the author, Sri Das Gotra, goes on to say, I just ignored his pressing invitation for 4 or 5 days. Since the tragic death of my eldest son in 1967, I had lost faith in God and gurus and I kept putting off Sohan Lal by saying I would spend some time with him after his divine guest left Delhi and before my departure for a month-long golfing holiday in Srinagar and Gulmarg in Kashmir. However, one early afternoon, I was suddenly gripped by the curiosity to at least see the so-called great spiritual being Sohan Lal had been talking about. And then he says he goes there and of course darshan is over and everything is done and the gates were locked. And he stood away in the next ground where a few people were hanging out and it was a hot day. The sun was bright and as I suddenly looked up in the direction of Sohan Lal's house, I saw on the roof of the house a small radiant figure with an afro bouffon hair, head of jet black hair looking towards me. That must be him, I said to myself, and automatically my folded hands went up in salutation. Then I noticed a gesture of his right forearm and hand as if to ask me to go into the house. I looked around, there was nobody. So eventually, with great difficulty, with Swami's grace, Sohan Lalji's son, Rajiv Kumar, came towards the gate and recognized Sri Sohan Lal, seemingly by chance, of course, there's nothing seemingly. And he went inside because the public darshan was over. And I'm just skipping that part and going to the next part. He says, at around 5 p.m., Baba came out of his room to the balcony overlooking the courtyard where we were sitting on the floor. There again, as I looked up and raised my hands folded in salutation, a beautiful, beatific smile covered Baba's face. After a few moments, he came down and walked amongst the devotees, saying a word or two to one, touching another on the head, stopping in front of the third to let him touch his feet. Finally, I saw him heading in my direction. But before I could turn around to face him, I felt his hand on my shoulder and he said 3 words in Hindi, Kuch parwa nahi, meaning, do not worry, have no fear. And he moved on out to the ground for the last bhajan session of his visit to Delhi. I saw no more of him that day. And then the author says that eventually he was heading to Kerala to pick his wife before flying to London. And he stopped in Bangalore and he went to Whitefield with the taxi driver on the spur of the moment to have Swami's darshan, only to find Swami had left for Puttaparthi. So he and his taxi driver took a chance to go all the way in those days, very rough roads in 1972 or so. He went all the way to Puttaparthi to find that Swami had left for Anantapur. Anantapur College for Girls that he had, he was at the premises of the Satya Sai College for Girls in Anantapur. So he was so persistent, he was so drawn that he actually drove from Bangalore Airport to Whitefield, Whitefield to Puttaparthi, Puttaparthi to Anantapur. And when he reached Anantapur, he says, and I quote him, I approached him and the moment he saw me, I folded my hands in the usual Indian salutation. He smiled and said in Hindi, so you have come. Baba asked me to wait for him in the drawing room adjoining the principal's office and added, Baat karna hai. I shall talk to you. Then he came into the room and sat down on a two-seater settee. He asked me to sit next to him on the sofa, but instinctively I sat down on the floor facing him. Communication would be better this way, face to face, I mumbled. To begin with, he recounted 4 or 5 very significant past happenings in my life as if my life was an open book in front of him. Then he recalled the tragic death of my first child, Yatish, and how deeply it had affected me. You are still sorrowing for the boy. Be strong for the tasks awaiting you, he said very gently while placing his hand on my head. That was followed by a soul-soothing 25-minute spiritual teaching about life and death, work and duty, failure and success, spirituality,
and the relationship between man and God, nature and its laws, and the importance of the values of truth, love, peace, compassion and righteousness in life. Dear listeners, just to remind you, I'm reading extracts from the book Life in Diplomacy, written by Sri Maharaj Krishan Rasgotra, and I will continue quoting him. This is from chapter 18, which is called Renewal of Faith, where he has devoted 11 and a half full pages to Swami, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. The author goes on to say, and I quote him, "Each word spoken by him, infused with overpowering love and compassion, went straight to my heart. Then, to my utter surprise, he said, 'The job in London is going to be difficult, very difficult. You will have many enemies there. But you will be High Commissioner there and you can deal with all that.' I interrupted him and said, 'Swami, I am going there as Deputy High Commissioner,' and asked, 'What should I do about the enemies? I have not done anything to make enemies in London, in India or anywhere else.' He calmed my doubts and fears. He said, 'You will be deputy only for a short time. You will be India's High Commissioner in London.' And then he spelt out a brief code of conduct for me to follow in the years ahead, which is, when you are confronted with a difficult problem, do what you think is right and do it fearlessly as duty that has to be done in the spirit of service. Where human beings are concerned, act with love, sympathy and compassion. Never act in anger, nor consciously harm anyone. Have no fear of enemies. Treated with kindness, enemies will become friends. Let love, truth and compassion be your guide in your action. I am with you always.' 'You do not do meditation,' he said, 'only physical yoga, the exercise part. You will not have much time in London to do meditation, but whenever you can find a few minutes of calm, sit in a quiet room and concentrate on any divine image or thought.' And he instructed me how to do it. 'This will help your concentration and stop your mind from wandering hither and thither.' The author says a few years later, he gave me a mantra to be repeated mentally to aid concentration, which I have practiced ever since. It was in this marvelous way that an abundant shower of Baba's grace and blessings on the morning of 2nd July 1972 that I started my journey into a phase of high responsibility in my working life. That was also the day when I began to recover my faith. I came out of the audience with Sri Satya Sai Baba a changed man from the one I had been, and with a set of instructions that would be my guide in what remained my life and work. Some people talk in wonder of Baba's miracles, such as materializations of things from air. Others deride them as works of a magician. But Baba's real miracles are worked in the hearts of human beings who approach him with open minds. Those who are lucky enough to be granted an audience come out of it deeply changed, better human beings, shorn of their anger and ego. This, his greatest miracle, is transforming human beings and societies in virtually every country of the world. In India, he has revolutionized education and set up model educational institutions, from an esteemed university in Prashanthi Nilayam to colleges and schools in all parts of the country. And then he talks about Swami's super speciality hospitals, the water projects, the village integrated program, and how marginalized villagers are reaping the benefit of Swami's compassion and generosity through the service acts of his millions of devotees. And dear listeners, I'm just skipping a little part, and I will go to, he says, in 1990, the author retired and he made it a point to always come to Parthi regularly, more often. He was also spending time with the faculty of the Sai University. He was once a guest of honor at the convocation where Swami picked him, and how honored he was. And then there is this part in Prashanthi Nilayam on the afternoon of 20th June 2009. I saw Baba along with others assembled in the temple veranda. He was scheduled to leave at 1 p.m. on 22nd of June, 2 days later, and he was hoping for an audience. But Baba did not come to the temple. Instead, I received instructions to postpone my departure till after a meeting with him that afternoon.
which in fact meant that I would be able to take a flight to Delhi only on 23rd June. I willingly complied with Baba's command and changed my travel arrangements accordingly. In the private audience with Baba, he graciously granted me at around 4:30 p.m. on Monday, 22nd June. I gave expression to my gratitude for the honor he had bestowed upon me earlier in April that year to make me a member of his Central Trust Management Council. And I asked for his guidance as to any particular service I could render as a council member. He changed the subject with a smile by informing me of a large sum of money he was giving to the Satya Sai International Center in New Delhi. I am the chairman of the management committee of that center. The center's activities were expanding, and in particular the work of the Satya Sai Primary School and the School for the Study of Human Values attached to it was attracting notice in educational circles in India and abroad. I took Baba's generous gift as an indication of his appreciation of the center. Baba said he would see me in the mandir at 8 a.m. the following day. Now, he reached the mandir, the author says, I reached the mandir at 8 a.m. in the morning of Tuesday, 23rd June, and sat in the chair. I think the year is 2009, dear listeners. He sat in the chair reserved for me in the outer veranda. The chair was provided out of respect for my age. I was 85, and its placement was strategic in the sense that from where I sat, I could get a clear view of Baba's arrival and departure, and of much of the grounds he used to make in the mandir's compound to give darshan to devotees assembled there. From my seat, I could see Baba almost as he left his residence to begin the short journey to the mandir. He usually took 3 minutes to reach the gate of the compound. The area adjoining was reserved for women devotees. The author says, I quote him, "My eyesight was still good in those days. I could read a newspaper small print without spectacles. Everything seemed normal that morning. But a moment after Baba came out of his residence and my eyes caught sight of him, things started to happen, the likes of which I had not experienced before. All of a sudden, I felt a surge of warmth in my body and a change came over in my vision. All that was static." I'll read that again. "All that was static and stable a moment earlier, the boundary wall, the buildings beyond, the serried rows of women devotees in their multicolored saris, thousands of male devotees assembled in the hall, all became a sea of gentle waves of multi-hued lights. Instinctively, my right hand went to the pulse on my left wrist. The pulse beat was normal. My eyes opened wide in wonder at the panorama unfolding before them. My gaze turned towards the gate of the mandir compound, a few yards beyond which I could still see clearly, for a few fleeting moments, Baba in the wheelchair with 4 companions walking behind him, slowly advancing towards the gate. Momentarily, the scene began to change, and in a trice, it was all light everywhere. The purest of pure white light enveloped all. It looked as if nothing else had ever existed there, nothing except the heavenly radiance I now beheld. Whichever way my gaze turned, I saw only light, an all-enveloping luminescence everywhere. Boundary walls topped by iron grills, solid buildings beyond, the gate where I had a clear view of Baba and his companions, and a few thousand women devotees seated on either side of Baba's route to the temple, Baba's party of 4, all had dissolved into that splendor of divine effulgence. I could still see Baba moving slowly forward on air, as it were, no wheelchair under him, on his usual course of giving darshan. But now, he and his orange robe had also become a translucent white entity, yet clearly distinguishable in outline, afloat on the sea of light around it.
All landmarks of the area with which I had become so familiar over the years had vanished or become part of that light. There was no solid substance in sight anywhere around. How long did it all last? I cannot say with certainty. Perhaps not more than 3 or 4 minutes. While beholding that marvel, I remember saying to myself, I am fully conscious and in possession of my senses. This is strange. The light is so bright, but it's not harsh on my eyes. No heat radiates from it. I also observed how remarkably calm I was as my eyes feasted on that cool, bright light which had transmuted everything into itself. The supernatural spectacle had not unnerved me. And then suddenly the thought came to me, my divine teacher is giving me a vision of who he is and of the reality of existences. I am a blessed recipient of his grace. In a moment, as it were, the scene began to change again. The light swiftly receded from all sides to a point about 40 or 50 yards from the gate into the temple compound where Baba and his party had reached. I could now make out Baba in his orange-colored robe on the wheelchair with 4 companions behind him at the center of a quickly shrinking glow, and then the normal everyday scene of Baba on his round to bless the assembled devotees. My eyes blinked and were filled with tears of joy and gratitude. Bedazzled by the transformation I had witnessed of Baba and the surroundings into the sea of light, I sat up in my chair in the veranda, oblivious of what was happening around me. A few moments later, someone nudged me and I saw Baba's wheelchair advancing towards me in the veranda. Quickly I rose and I touched his feet. As I looked at him, he beamed his usual beatific smile and raised his hand in blessing. No words passed between us, none were necessary. The avatar had blessed me with the revelation of his reality and of the divine light called God. Now, he says he had also experienced later in the chapter 2, he had witnessed a self-revelatory act on Baba's part before, but the scale was not this enormous. And on June 23rd, the vision that I just read out to you, dear listeners, about that he says, on 23rd June, he gave me a vision of the Supreme Light, which the Upanishads describe as Narayana. The Supreme Reality also designated in the Upanishads as Brahman. Guru Nanak, the founder of the Sikh faith, speaks of one Supreme Light, Noor, from which the entire universe was born. A vision of that Noor was Sri Satya Sai Baba's last gift to me before he left, he went into Mahasamadhi. Unquote. So what I read you were extracts from this very large chapter. I only read here and there because I had to keep time in mind. Dear listeners, this is a book called Life in Diplomacy and is authored by a very eminent Indian, Sri Maharaj Krishan Rasgotra. M.K. Rasgotra, R.A.S.G.O.T.R.A. Rasgotra. And the name of the book is Life in Diplomacy. And you may want to read it in your own time. I don't know if it's available online, but you can pick a copy if you so wish to go through the entire chapter. There are a lot of details which I skipped. Now, I have a very interesting announcement for you. If you're visiting or anybody known to you is visiting Prashanthi Nilayam, I would urge them to make sure they catch a show at the Sri Satya Sai Planetarium, which is our space theater. And I have some updated information. Visitors are welcome to regular shows on Tuesdays, Thursdays, Saturday and Sunday. Remember the 2 T's, Tuesday, Thursday, and the 2 S's, Saturday, Sunday. Entry begins at 10 a.m. Show begins at 10:30. Most shows are approximately half an hour. On Tuesdays, we do Hindi. On Thursdays, we do Hindi. So TNT, Hindi and Hindi. Saturday, English and Sunday, Telugu. Educational institutions and other groups can arrange for special shows by contacting the director. And for details, you can visit the Sri Satya Sai Space Theatre's website. Visitors are welcome to regular shows 6 days a week, daily except Wednesday. And
And you can also, the website is, I think it's best you check the website before you make your plans. SaiSpace.in is the website. SaiSpace, one word, .in. Now with that, dear listeners, this is the season when the entire Sai organization, I'm sorry, I couldn't open it right now, but if you go to the Prime Minister of India's Twitter page, you will see there's a beautiful tweet he has written about the Sri Satya Sai Seva organization's latest campaign, which began on October the 2nd and which will go on for 18 days till the Avatar Declaration Day on October 20th, in which we are participating to make India clean as part of our contribution to the Swachh Bharat campaign. The PM of India, Shri Narendra Modi, has tweeted very warmly and congratulated us for our campaign, which is called Swachhata Se Divyata Tak. Cleanliness is godliness, and I gave you a lot of details about it on last week's Morning Glory, because in this, all Sai devotees who are registered with the Satya Sai Seva organization, all 100 Satya Sai schools, all and their students, teachers and parents, all 600 Satya Sai Vidya Jyoti schools and their students, teachers and parents, total 800,000, which is 8 lakh people, are going to be participating hands-on in a very methodical and systematic and well-thought-out manner to clean India for 18 days as our offering at the lotus feet of our Sadhguru from the day of the birth of the father of the nation, Mahatma Gandhi, October 2nd. So 4 days ago we began, and we'll go on till the Avatar Declaration Day, which is on October the 20th. 800,000 pairs of hands, that is 16 lakh hands, will be working to tidy this country, because Swami has taught us cleanliness is godliness. And there's a beautiful tweet from Prime Minister of India congratulating the Sri Satya Sai Seva organization. You may recall that during the World Youth Conference Festival also, PM Modi had tweeted and congratulated the youth of the Sai organization, and he said he looks forward to their cooperation in taking this country forward. On that very joyful note, since we are in this mood to serve with great love, I'm going to play for you a few clips. I will close the show with some very important clips in the voice of our beloved Lord, which tell us why it is important to serve society and see God in everyone. With that positive thought, I leave you with the divine voice of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Please enjoy and pay deep attention to what Swami is telling the youth and students and devotees of the Sai movement to do in order to please Him. Here it is for your inspiration, and until I see you next Thursday, thank you for your company, and Jai Sai Ram, and I eagerly look forward to your feedback to the Triswa Divinity interview with Dr. Sumit Thakur and all other aspects of Morning Glory, including the extract from Sri Rasgotra's book and the update on the inauguration or the groundbreaking ceremony at Jammu of the new Sai Center. Sai Ram.
Manamu Sanghamanande Puttam.
We are born in society.
Sanghamanande Perigam.
We grow in society.
Sanghamanunchine Manam Kirti Pratishthanu Andukunnam.
We have earned all the reputation, name and fame in society.
Sanghamanunchine Aneka Vidyalanu Manamu Nerchukunnamu.
We are educated in this society.
తెలివితేటలను పెంచుకున్నాము.
We have grown in intelligence.
మేధావులని కీర్తిని పొందాము.
We got the name that we are intelligent.
ఇవన్నీ ఎక్కడ నుంచి మనకు ప్రాప్తించింది?
Where from you got all these things?
సమాజం నుండే మనకు ప్రాప్తించింది.
You got them out of society alone.
కానీ ఇన్ని విధములైనటువంటి యొక్క ఉన్నత స్థితులను, గతులను, మతులను మనం ఈ సమస్తం నుంచి మనం పొందినాము.
We have got all these heights out of this society only.
ఇన్ని సమాజం నుంచి మనం అందుకున్నటువంటి యువతి యువకులు ఏ ఒక్కరైనా కూడాను ఈ సమాజమునకు మనం ఏ విధంగా మనం ఉపయోగించాలి, దీని కృతజ్ఞత ఏ విధంగా తీర్చాలి అనేటువంటి ఒక దీంతో విచారం చేస్తున్నారా?
హావింగ్ గాట్ ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్ హావింగ్ రిజన్ టు హైట్స్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ద సొసైటీ యంగ్ మెన్ అండ్ విమెన్ హియర్ హావ్ ఎనీ వన్ ఆఫ్ యూ థాట్ టు ఎక్స్ప్రెస్ యువర్ గ్రాటిట్యూడ్ టు ద సొసైటీ?
ఇన్ని పవిత్రమైనటువంటి యొక్క సద్గుణములు మనం అందుకున్నందుకు సమాజమునకు మేము ఏ సేవ చేస్తున్నాము?
Having been the recipient of all the good out of the society, how are you?
ఏ విధమైనటువంటి ప్రతిఫలాన్ని మనం సమాజమునకు అందిస్తున్నాము?
How are you expressing your gratitude?
ఈ విధంగా తమకు తాము ప్రశ్న వేసుకుంటే ఏమాత్రం కూడా జవాబు రావటం లేదు.
If you put a question to yourself, you don't get an answer.
ఇది పెద్ద దోషం.
This is a big mistake.
ప్రతి మానవుడికి కూడా కృతజ్ఞత అనేటువంటిది ఉండాలి.
Every human being must necessarily have
దేని గురించి మనం ఏ ఫలితాన్ని పొందినామో ఆ ఫలితమునకు ప్రతిత్యముగా ఈ యొక్క కృతజ్ఞతను మనం చూపాలి.
Having been the beneficiaries, you should express your gratitude.
ఆ కృతజ్ఞత చూపే నిమిత్తమై సమాజంలో నిస్వార్థమైన సేవ చేయాలి.
As an expression to your gratitude, you should render selfless service.
ఆ నిస్వార్థమైన సేవనే ఈ సమాజమునకు మనం అందించేటువంటి ప్రధానమైనటువంటి కర్తవ్యము, ఒక విధమైనటువంటి ఒక సేవ.
Selfless service is our responsibility. It is the true service.
పాపభీతి లేక పామరత్వము పట్టి.
Because of the ignorance of no fear of sin.
పాపభీతి లేని పామరత్వము పట్టి దైవప్రీతి లేని దాని పట్టి.
For the reason that they have no love of God.
మానవత్వమనగే మానవులందునా.
Among human society, the human values are totally gone.
విశ్వశాంతికిదియే విప్లవం.
This is the cause for the world revolution today.
ఈనాటి ప్రపంచము ఈ విప్లవానికి గురి కావడానికి కారణమేమిటి?
What are the main cause behind this revolution world over?
పాపభీతి కోల్పోయినారు.
There is no fear of sin today.
దైవప్రీతిని కూడా కోల్పోయినారు.
They have no love for God either.
ఈ రెండు కోల్పోయిన తర్వాత శాంతి ఏ రీతిగా మనకు లభ్యమవుతుంది?
When once these two are gone, how do you expect to be peaceful?
కనుక మొట్టమొదట పాపభీతి దైవప్రీతిని మనము అభివృద్ధి గావించుకోవాలి.
Therefore, first of all, we should have these two, fear of sin and love of God.
మనము సంఘమునందే పుట్టాము.
We are born in society.
సంఘమునందే పెరిగాము.
We grow in society.
సంఘము నుంచినే మనం కీర్తి ప్రతిష్టలను అందుకున్నాము.
We have earned all the reputation, name and fame in society.
సంఘము నుంచినే అనేక విద్యలను మనము నేర్చుకున్నాము.
We are educated in this society.
తెలివితేటలను పెంచుకున్నాము.
We have grown in intelligence.
మేధావులని కీర్తిని పొందాము.
We got the name that we are intelligent.
ఇవన్నీ ఎక్కడి నుంచి మనకు ప్రాప్తించింది?
Where from you got all these things?
సమాజము నుండి మనకు ప్రాప్తించింది.
You got them out of society alone.
కానీ ఇన్ని విధములైనటువంటి యొక్క ఉన్నత స్థితులను గతులను మతులను మనం ఈ సంస్థ నుంచి మనం పొందినాము.
We have got all these heights out of this society only.
ఇన్ని సమాజం నుంచి మనం అందుకున్నటువంటి యువతి యువకులు ఏ ఒక్కరైనా కూడాను ఈ సమాజమునకు మనం ఏ విధంగా మనం ఉపయోగించాలి, దీని కృతజ్ఞత ఏ విధంగా తీర్చాలి అనేటువంటి ఒక దీంతో విచారణ చేస్తున్నారా?
Having got all these things, having risen to heights out of the society, young men and women here, have any one of you thought to express your gratitude to the society?
ఇన్ని పవిత్రమైనటువంటి ఒక సద్గుణములను మనం అందుకున్నందుకు సమాజమునకు మేము ఏ సేవ చేస్తున్నాము?
Having been the recipient of all the good out of the society, how are you?
ఏ విధమైనటువంటి ప్రతిఫలాన్ని మనం సమాజమునకు అందిస్తున్నాము?
How are you expressing your gratitude?
ఈ విధంగా తమకు తాము ప్రశ్న వేసుకుంటే ఏమాత్రం కూడా జవాబు రావటం లేదు.
If you put a question to yourself, you don't get an answer.
ఇది పెద్ద దోషం.
This is a big mistake.
ప్రతి మానవుడు కూడాను కృతజ్ఞత అనేటువంటిది ఉండాలి.
Every human being must necessarily have
దేని గురించి మనం ఏ ఫలితాన్ని పొందినామో ఆ ఫలితమునకు ప్రతిత్యముగా ఈ యొక్క కృతజ్ఞతను మనం చూపాలి.
Having been the beneficiaries, you should express your gratitude.
ఆ కృతజ్ఞత చూపే నిమిత్తమై సమాజంలో నిస్వార్థమైన సేవ చేయాలి.
As an expression to your gratitude, you should render selfless service.
ఆ నిస్వార్థమైన సేవనే ఈ సమాజమునకు మనం అందించేటువంటి ప్రధానమైనటువంటి కర్తవ్యము, ఒక విధమైనటువంటి ఒక సేవ.
Selfless service is our responsibility. It is the true service.
ఈనాడు శివరాత్రి అనగా ఏమిటి?
What is శివరాత్రి?
మంగళకరమైనటువంటి గుణము ఈ యొక్క నాడు పెంచుకోవాలి.
You should develop auspicious qualities.
అనగా లోక సమస్త సుఖినో భవంతు, అందరూ సుఖంగా ఉంటుండాలి.
Everybody be happy.
నేను మాత్రమే సుఖంగా ఉండాలి అనుకోకూడదు.
Not I alone.
అందరూ సుఖంగా ఉంటుండాలి.
Everybody should.
ప్రతి మానవుడు కూడాను సంఘ మెంబరే కానీ సంఘానికి అతీతమైన వాడు కాదు.
ఎవ్రీవన్ ఈజ్ ఎ మెంబర్ ఆఫ్ సొసైటీ, డజంట్ ట్రాన్సెండ్.
సమస్త స్వరూపుడు ప్రతి మానవుడు.
హీఈస్ ఎ కలెక్టివ్ ఫామ్.
వ్యక్తి స్వరూపుడు కాదు.
హీఈస్ నాట్ ఎన్ ఇండివిజువల్.
సమాజమే లేకపోతే వ్యక్తి ఎక్కడ?
వితౌట్ సొసైటీ ఇండివిజువల్ కెనాట్ లివ్.
ప్రతి వ్యక్తి సమస్త స్వరూపుడే.
ఎవ్రీ ఇండివిజువల్ ఇస్ ద ఫామ్ ఆఫ్ ద
కనుక సమాజం యొక్క క్షేమాన్ని సంక్షేమాన్ని మనం కోరాలి.
దేర్ఫోర్ వి షుడ్ డిజైర్ ద వెల్ఫేర్ ఆఫ్ ద కమ్యూనిటీ.
మీ స్వార్థం కోసమే నీ పాట పడకు.
యు షుడ్ నాట్ స్ట్రగుల్ ఫర్ సెల్ఫిష్నెస్.
అలాంటివి ఈనాడు విద్యార్థుల్లో అధికంగా పెరిగాలి.
సచ్ స్పిరిట్ షుడ్ బి మోర్ అండ్ మోర్ అమంగ్
స్టూడెంట్స్. ఎక్కడ మీరు ప్రయాణం చేస్తున్నప్పటికీ ఎవరైనా బాధపడుతుంటే ఆ బాధను మీరు వహించి వారికి సహాయం చేయాలి.
Wherever you may go as you travel, you should help those that need your service.
Brotherhood of man, fatherhood of God.
Then only this will be established, brotherhood of man and
ఇలాంటి పవిత్ర భావాన్ని మనం పెంచుకున్నప్పుడే నిజంగా మనం విద్యావంతులం అవుతాం.
When you develop such sacred ideas, then only you can call yourself educated.
కనుక సహాయమే చాలా అవసరము.
Help is needed.
తోటి మానవులు ఎందున్నటువంటి యొక్క దైవతత్వాన్ని మనం చక్కగా మనం అర్థం చేసుకోవాలి.
We have to understand the divinity among our fellow man.
ఈశ్వర సర్వభూతానాం అన్నారు. అందరి యందు ఉండేటువంటి చైతన్యమే ఈశ్వరుడు.
God is present in all. He is the very form of awareness.
కనుక ప్రతి చైతన్యమైనటువంటి యొక్క మానవుని కూడా మనం గౌరవించాలి.
So we have to respect
him. ప్రేమించాలి. Love. సన్నిహిత సంబంధ బాంధవ్యాన్ని
పెంచుకోవాలి.
ఇదే నిజమైన మానవత్వము.
దిస్ ట్రూ హ్యూమన్ క్వాలిటీ.
అట్టు కాకుండా నీటిపైన తైలం పొట్టు వలె నీరు వేరు తైలం వేరుగా ఉండకూడదు.
ఇట్ షుడ్ నాట్ బి లైక్ ఆయిల్ ఆన్ వాటర్ లయింగ్ సెపరేట్.
అన్నింటినీ ఏకమైపోవాలి.
ఎవ్రీథింగ్ షుడ్ బి యూనిఫైడ్.
ఇలాంటి మనలో జిడ్డు భావాలను పెంచుకోకూడదు.
వీ షుడ్ నాట్ డెవలప్ బ్యాడ్ ఫీలింగ్స్.